motivational speaker said, transitioning from average to outstanding is more than just a journey of skill acquisition. It's a transformative process that reshapes one's identity, beliefs, and capabilities. It's about pushing boundaries, challenging the status quo, and relentlessly pursuing excellence in every endeavor. Why did I put that up on the screen? It's because I wanted you to think through it in detail. I wanted you to concentrate. I wanted to capture your attention. I wanted to keep your attention for the duration of the quote. Because somehow, sometime, we're going to get distracted. You're going to be distracted during the course of the sermon. I very kindly, in the early morning service, had somebody who didn't turn their cell phone on silent, and there was a distraction. They didn't know how to turn their phone off. They only knew how to answer their phone. There was a distraction. There's going to be a distraction because of a cry of a baby. Or suddenly you're going to think, did I turn off my hair straightener? Sorry, that's for the ladies, not particularly for the men. And sometime during the things that we do in daily life, we get distracted. Am I the only one who walks into a room and thinks, what did I come in here for? And it's got nothing to do with old age. Let me just put that on the table. It's got nothing to do with old age. Teens ask the same question. What did I come in here for? Because between the lounge, the kitchen, and the bedroom, they had 7 messages. And they're so busy concentrating that they think, bedroom, I should be in the kitchen. It's those distractions that cause us to forget what should be central. So, the lesson today is do not forget. Do you want to go home? It's hot. No, it's not quite that. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, because that's where we're dealing, what we're dealing with. Do not forget the Lord your God. And you respond quite legitimately by saying, oh, is that all? I won't forget him. But that's exactly what the Israelites said. The Israelites said, no, we'll never forget God. God is the God who brought up us out of Egypt. But remembering God challenges us to push boundaries. Following God pushes the status quo, relentlessly demands excellence in every area of your life. So, your first test. Your first test this morning is, what was that quote that we read earlier? I'm just going to ask you, are you an average or an outstanding Christian? Are you an average Christian or an outstanding Christian? Because it's not just skill acquisition. It's not just learning the Bible. The challenge that we have is not to be distracted in everything that we do. And distractions come from all directions. The Israelites had been distracted often. And God had to recall to their mind everything that they had learned. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 and verse 16, the same word is used, the word test. I know that there are youngsters in school that are getting C's and D's who think that they are A plus quality. And the only way for a teacher to tell them that they are not quite where they think they are is to put an objective test to them. To say, okay, complete that. We'll see whether you get an A or whether you get a C. So we're looking for an objective standard. And as we go through this, we're going to say, what is the standard? There's a first test. The first test is remember. The second test is do not forget. It's just called repetition, so that we remember. So what's the first test? Recall. Every test is a measure of recalling. The more the students concentrate, the more they remember. I got the little ones up here in front to see if they remembered what we did at Kingdom Kids. Why? Firstly, to put me in my place and show me that my lessons aren't as spectacular as I think they are. And secondly, repetition helps kids learn. The more distracted they are, the less they remember the lesson. And so God takes the Israelites back in verse 1 and 2, and he says, all right, what did we learn last week? Well, it doesn't quite say that in the text, but that's essentially what God is doing. He's saying, in the last lesson, I took you into the wilderness. Why did I take you? And God takes them back into their past, and he says, all right, let's learn. What did we remember from the last lesson that you learned? And this now is another test for you. Why did God take the Israelites from Egypt into the wilderness? To release them from bondage, yeah. So that they wouldn't be slaves anymore, yeah. To give them a land that he promised to them. Those are all correct statements. But this is what God says about why he took them out. Exodus chapter 7. The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent me to say to you, Moses says to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may worship me in the desert. That's essentially why God redeems his people, so that they would worship him. That's his statement. It's not just, oh, you deserve a better life, you're having a hard time, I'm going to... He says, I'm getting you, I'm releasing you, that you may worship me. Why did God not allow them to go straight into Israel? One main reason is they forgot God. They didn't pay attention to his laws, his decrees, and his promises. God tested Abraham. How did he test Abraham? Take the son, the only son you love, and sacrifice him in a place I will show you. Here's the test. It's an objective test, so God can say, yes, you were listening attentive and you did hear me. Or he could say to Abram, you didn't listen at all. So Abram takes his son, he goes, he's prepared to sacrifice him there. God releases Abram from that. And we read, I think I've got the whole of the chapter here, let's just pick up at verse 12 of Genesis 22. God says, you passed the test. He says, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. So, having been attentive, listen to what God said. Abram took his son, went and sacrificed him, and God said, you passed the test. You were listening and you remained focused all of the way. Did the Israelites pass their first test to remember God? The answer is no. They didn't do what God said that they should do, and God sentenced them to death in the desert. So, not only do we go to their past, but then we also see that God allows them to benefit from his great provision. The words that are used there is, he tested them again, chapter 8, verse 3. I'll find it in a moment. There we go. Chapter 8, verse 3. God humbled you, causing you to hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers have known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He did that to discipline them. So I need to make a disconnect between what we understand as discipline today and what true discipline is. Discipline, we understand as a good clap across the ear. Well, we're not allowed to do that anymore. Substitute whatever you want in that space, all right. But that's what you understand as discipline. Teaching them a lesson as best you can under the constitution of our country. But really what discipline is discipline is teaching. God disciplined them when they had no food. He taught them by providing for them. They had no food, they had no clothing, but they enjoyed food, clothing, and good health. And God says, I'm teaching you through the good things as well as the bad things. I'm not just going to teach you through the bad things. I'll teach you to follow me even when I give you good things. Remain focused when you have the good things in life. That's the lesson.
So you might recognize that passage there, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the Lord.
Do you remember from another passage somewhere in the Bible? Jesus? Matthew?
Jesus is being tempted.
He's in the wilderness. He's been there for 40 days.
Now my stomach starts grumbling after 6 hours.
He's been fasting 40 days.
And Satan comes and says, make those stones become bread.
After 6 hours, I would do that. Particularly if it's nice warm fresh bread with a crispy crust. I would do it immediately.
Jesus' response was to Satan, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
What Jesus was telling Satan was, if you keep your attention fixed without being distracted by anything that comes from a different side, you will honor the Lord. And if you honor the Lord,
He will provide for you graciously.
You don't need to do it in your own strength. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 4. But this is exactly the same idea carried through here. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which you hadn't known, to teach you to remain focused. What was their focus? To worship the Lord. That's why He brought you out. And if you don't, chapter 8, verse 13 and 14, then tells us what will happen if people become distracted. Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. What happens if we get distracted along the way? Everything else pushes in. And when we eat, when we're satisfied, when we build fine houses, when we settle down, when our flocks and herds grow large and our silver and gold increase, and all that we have is multiplied, our hearts become proud. And so that leads us on to the next aspect, that we're going to become proud if we forget the Lord our God. So let me go back to my outline. The first thing is to remember. And in remembering, we keep in mind the goal of our faith. We follow His commands. We keep His commands, verse 1 and verse 2. We observe His commands, verse 6. And then we will get that which God has promised us. And so the third aspect is when we remember, when we keep focus, when we're not distracted, God will give us what He has promised. That comes through verses 6 through 9. The Lord says, settle down. Everything that was temporary will now become permanent. Everything that was fleeting will now remain. Remarkably, how long did the manna last?
Just the morning. If you didn't collect enough manna, it was gone. It's temporary.
Water out of a rock didn't just carry on flowing all the time. But God said, if you listen to me, if you keep focused, if you worship me as you ought, you will have everything that you need. Look through verses 8 and 9. You'll have a land with wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey. A land where bread will no longer be scarce and you will lack nothing. A land where rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. What's He teaching them?
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness,
and everything that would have otherwise distracted you on the way will be given to you. That's the God of provision. So what's the second test? If the first test is remember, the second test is, well, do not forget. What might they forget?
Everything.
It's important not just to remember some information, but not to forget. So in our minds can become so cluttered with what's happening on our phones or so cluttered with things around us that we forget the small things. Right, I've given you two tests so far. Your third test today is, can you recall what you had for lunch every day this past week? It's easy if you don't have lunch. The answer is just nothing. Alright, that gets relegated to the back of your mind because it's not that important. It's important to eat, it's important to have nutrition, but it's not foremost in your mind that you think, I've got to remember that. When God says, don't forget, he's not just saying, remember, he's saying, call back to mind again and again things that are really important. Don't allow the distractions to divert your attention. Why? Back in verse 14, because otherwise we'll become proud and we will forget the Lord our God. So forgetting the Lord is shown when we don't praise him for his provision. The Lord can keep us dependent by saying, I'm not going to provide for you every last thing that you need. You're going to get down on your knees and you're going to beg. But God doesn't do that. God graciously gives us water when we're thirsty, food when we're hungry. He gives us protection from, in verse 16, 15, 16, snakes and scorpions. I challenge any teen to pick up his phone, walk into his room, and if there's a snake there, to have absolutely no reaction saying, I wonder who last posted something on Instagram. No way. A teen will have one of two responses to a snake or a scorpion in their room. Either they'll say, I love snakes, oh good, I've got another one for my collection. Or they'll say, Mom, get out. Nobody goes into the room, falls down their bed, says, oh, there's a scorpion, then I'll leave it till later. You do something immediately. God's protected them. And you don't just forget, oh, I forgot there was a scorpion in my bed, and I can't let it go there. God says, if you eat and you're satisfied, you build houses, you settle down, when your flocks and herds grow large, your silver and gold increase, and you've got everything that you want, where is your attention? Because if your attention then is to say, look how well I've done, and you forget God, don't be surprised if God then counts you as one of the unbelievers. Because self-satisfaction leads to pride. So if we feel that we've provided for ourselves, we'll say, I'm pretty good. Look at the life that I've got. Let me turn your attention to the rich fool. A farmer who had a bumper crop. He didn't know what to do with all his crop. So he said, I've got a brilliant idea. I'm going to build bigger barns. I'll store all my grain there. I'll say to myself, well done. You've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. Failed test number two. He forgot God. And God's response, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself things, but is not rich towards God. Doesn't that sound remarkably like Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17? You will say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, do not forget the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. Remember, do not forget. We're constantly distracted. Drawing this together, just as my final point, we just see that God closes with a pronouncement in verses 19 and 20. It doesn't matter what confession of faith you have, it doesn't matter what you say, I believe in God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, you can make the whole creed your profession. You can say in your office, I'm a Christian. But it doesn't matter how strong spiritually you were or how many generations of ministers and missionaries you've had in your family. How is your daily worship of God? Not just do you have a quiet time, that goes without saying. Do you regularly open God's word and say, how must I apply this today to my life? Because if we're not doing that, we can so easily be distracted by the problems of this world. The things that can so easily entangle our lives will trip us up. Because if we ever forget the Lord our God and follow in His, and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, God testifies against you that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations destroyed before you, He says to Israel, so will you be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. Those last two verses close the brackets which were opened in verses 1 and 2. The land that I promise you will be realized if you follow in true faith. True faith is not just a confession. Anybody can say whatever they need in order to get the reward. My grandchildren tell me that every single week. Fred, you are such a great grandfather. I love you so much. And they get whatever they want. That's easy to say it with our lips. True faith is not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer also. We get distracted. Distractions come when we get upset, thinking that God owes us more than we're getting. And then we say, is it really worth following His laws? Distractions come when we're comfortable, when we presume that we can do without God. We lose focus. When we've got such a nice day and we just want to get out to Midmar and we think, oh, well, our worship of God is not that important. Distractions come when we look at what other people have and they're not even believers. And here I am, I've done all that I can to please God. Distractions come when others have a life of prosperity and ease. Distractions come when the business of life allows central worship of God to be erased to the outside fringes of our attention. What was my introduction about? That's not important. The important thing is to remember God and do not forget all His benefits. Psalm 103. Distraction leads to forgetfulness. And when you forget the small things in life, you will not remember the central issues of faith. And when the central issues of faith are disregarded, you'll turn to other gods. And when you turn to other gods, you will be judged by them. Do not make light of regular worship together as Christians. Because you miss 1 or 2 weeks, and it becomes 1 or 2 months, and then 1 or 2 years. That's exactly how the Israelites were distracted and they forgot their God. The difference between the normal and the dedicated believer, transitioning from the average believer to the outstanding believer, is more than just a journey of skill acquisition. It transforms who you are and what you do. Will you remember the Lord your God? Underline Deuteronomy chapter 8 in your Bible, that you might not forget.